so it'll identify it on the tape.
Okay, Glenn Plan.
Yeah. Okay, when did you come here to Parchment?
You mean move here originally?
Well,
or
come to work.
To
did
work.
You come first? Or?
Actually, the actual date is March the 6th, 1938.
Uh-huh. And did you come here to live at the same time? Or
no,
later?
I lived here. I've lived here since 1923.
Oh, you're a resident, native
yeah.
here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Now, so that's why you worked out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went to school here. When I got through school, I came over here to give me my job.
Now, he hired you directly?
Well, yes and no. He's the one that told me to come over to the office and apply
yeah.
for a job, right?
Uh-huh. And did you always work in the Parks Department, or?
That is where I started at that time. Of course, that during the Depression years, there wasn't much work around.
Yeah.
And, yes, I started there. And winter times, when there wasn't much outdoor work, of course, we would go in the mill.
Yeah.
And work in different departments in the mill for the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, at that time, did he have charge of all the parks and everything? There wasn't any city public works, is that it?
No, that's right. We worked directly, well, for the mill. We worked on the mill payroll, let's put it this way. Of course, at that time, when you realize the park was this wasn't even completed at that time.
Uh-huh.
So Mr. Kilberger actually completed the park before it really turned over to the city.
Oh, he gave it and completed it before he
oh,
turned
yes.
it over.
Well, it was completed, yes. Actually, the park wasn't, well, it was given, actually deeded to the city in 1933, but he it was just a rough, more or less a rough piece of land at that time. It was developed after that.
Uh-huh.
And in 1952 is when the mill divorced herself from the city entirely.
Mm-hmm.
They turned all the maintenance, all the streets, and everything over to the city at that time, except the water department, which was turned over in, I think, 54. And then the city had to build up their own departments. Their street department, water, sewage departments, and
is that when you
department. That's when I actually left the mill payroll at that time. The commission asked me if I would take over these departments for the city directly at that time,
mm-hmm.
and which I did. I felt it was
mm-hmm.
I was the only one that had the experience, and I was glad to do it for them.
Yeah. Now, when they built the park, did they have a landscape architect, or did they just decide
yes,
how they wanted
it? No, they had a man that worked with Mr. Kalenberger by the name of, Peter Patter, of all names.
Peter Patter,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
He come from, he had a nursery in Battle Creek. And a lot of the ideas come from him, and Mr. Woodhouse, I believe, was the first, I want to say, park superintendent that was here during the initial construction of it. And then Mr. Niewander, you know, the landscape architect in the area,
yeah.
he's still
uh-huh.
in business, and he came in and did quite a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. So it was all well planned.
Oh yes, it was
uh-huh.
all well planned, right.
And then people from the mill, like you, worked on it and?
Yes, well, we really wasn't from the mill. We was hired just for that job. But as
yeah.
I say, Mr. Kilberger in the mill did the cost of it. I think, as I remember, a little of it was actually charged back to the city, but
mm-hmm.
the biggest share of it. It's all supervised and done through the mill and Mr. Kilberger.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you went with the city, you said they took over all the roads and everything of this sort. Did you have to have all of that, or?
Yes, we had to buy all new equipment. The mill didn't turn any equipment over to the city at all, so
uh-huh.
we had to go into it right from scratch. They took the parks and the streets the first year. They didn't want to dump it all into us at once because it
yeah.
was just too much. We happened to buy all the equipment and build up new crews. So the first year we took the parks and the streets. That was in 51st of the year, 53, that's
mm-hmm.
right, 53, July 1st, 53. And we got established there, then the following year, I think it was, yeah, 54, we took over the water department and the sewers, and that's when we built our sewage plant.
Mm-hmm.
We started in 54, completed in 55.
Now, at one time, the water department had its own supervisor, was that right? What was, wasn't Sam Poole?
Yeah, well, yes, really, Sam, when we took over the water department, Sam went to work for the city, I think, in '56. And we hired Sam primarily to run the water and sewer department.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Sam was with us for 10 years.
Then after Sam left?
Well, then we hired another superintendent, but it seemed to work out better under, just under one head, and so then they turned it all back to me again.
Yeah, so you're actually over the whole thing?
Oh, yes, I have, yes.
Yeah. Well, I knew that there was a separation there when Sam was here, I didn't know.
It went for a little while there, but it didn't, it just didn't seem to work out.
Uh-huh.
Not in a small community, in a large community you can do this, but in a small community, no. You have one, you should have one head over the whole, the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
It would feel much better.
And then it's up to you to decide, or does the city commission decide which streets and what planning as far as what needs to be done?
No, it's my job is to work up, I try to do it in 5-year plans.
Mm-hmm.
If I looked at it, I had 5 years, and I come up with programs that I believe should be done or done in this 5-year period, and I talk to the commission about it, and they either approve or disapprove of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I come up with plans, and they set policy on them.
Now, have there been very many changes in the park area since?
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, the city as such could never afford to keep it up the way the mill did at those times. So I can remember, I'm not, when we had as high as 53 men working on that park.
Oh, 53 goodness.
People.
Thanks.
That park was really a show.
And you don't have that kind of staff.
Oh, no, no. Well, and I'm made it all done by hand because the idea was the park would develop to get people work during the Depression years. So the more handling we could do, the more people we could put to work.
Yeah.
When the city took over, we immediately started buying equipment to replace a lot of this men because we take equipment when it's not working, it's not costing the city anything. And men you got on the payroll, you got to pay 24 or year round. So we've replaced a lot of manpower with equipment, and times have changed. We've had to do away with all the beautiful flower beds we used to have in the park, which was quite time consuming to take care of. And of course, the reason for this was youngsters. We can't. You can't have flower beds in public park anymore because the kids ride their bicycles for long and they pick the flowers and there's just too much vandalism in public parks today.
Yeah.
And we've had to take out the thousands and thousands of shrubbery. You know, the park used to be lined with shrubbery all around it and on the paths. Well, and nowadays it's, you can't have things like this with little girls and stuff in the park. You worry about molesting and things.
Mm-hmm.
So by removing all this, the police or the workers, as they drive through the park, they can see through the whole park and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we've eliminated any possible chance of any of these things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it's a prettier park this way. The type of landscaping has changed throughout the year. They have different ideas.
Yeah.
But we try to think now it's a recreation park. They're for the people's use, and it's to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And back in those days, pretty strict with. You could even, a bicycle could even ride across the grass there.
Oh.
Pick them out.
Uh-huh.
It's a show place.
Uh-huh. Now, it's been since you have been in charge of this that they have built up these Little League diamonds and...
Yes, Little League actually started in 1953, I believe. 53.
Uh-huh.
And we converted the softball diamonds over to Little League diamonds. Of course, prior to 53, the mill and the city had ball leagues of their own, and of course that was discontinued. Of course, the mill discontinued as being too expensive, and so we turned it over to Little League.
Well, they used to have some pretty big games here, didn't they?
Well, we've had in the baseball diamond down below. Of course, at one time we had the mill's team were state champions. They had some of the best baseball teams in the country at that time, semi-pro league, and they played the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals have been here, the Chicago Cubs have been here in our park, the Detroit Tigers have been here in our park. And we used to have at least one major league team a year here.
Oh.
And we've had all kinds of traveling semi-pro teams in the colored league, for instance, like Kansas City Monarchs, and these teams were Satchel Paige, these boys were made their name.
Oh, and they were here.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We've had traveling Japanese teams here. Oh, we used to draw some tremendous crowd there.
Now, where did they play these games?
Down in our baseball diamond. At that time, our baseball diamond was second to none in the country.
No, that's the one that's down next to the tennis courts?
Yes, we did away with it this year and converted over into softball diamonds for the girls. See, we've got a girls league now, put 200 girls in it.
Oh.
It started this year. So we had to make a place for them to play. So the baseball diamond wasn't being, the regulation side baseball diamond wasn't being used too much anymore.
Yeah.
So we felt that we'd get more use out of that track of land by converting it over and giving these girls a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come over tremendous.
Good. Tremendous. So that lower one is for girls now, is that her?
Girls, the girls use it four nights a week, and we have a softball league that started in the city again of men. They have eight teams, and they use it one night a week.
Uh-huh.
The two diamonds. We've got two diamonds there instead of one.
Oh, there's two there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been back in there. Did they used to play at all out here by the street?
Oh, that's where I first started playing the ball, and I played for the company, yeah.
Oh, you played for the company too,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What did you play?
Well, I pitched and played outfield.
Oh.
Yeah, we had some real ball club.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was right there where that piece of grass is where you have your Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
You know, that was... That's the reason they got such a big sign up at Killenberger Park. There was a screen behind that, and that was the backstop for home plate.
Oh,
and
uh-huh.
The balls were hit toward the old community house.
You didn't break any windows?
Oh, and screened on all the windows on this side. Oh, so yeah, some of the real
old-time
ball players could hit a ball, and nothing hit.
Now, that's where they, when they had the big leagues, that's where they played?
No, we played on the...
Oh, you played on the...
Yeah, that diamond was completed for play in, I think, about 1936.
Uh-huh.
From that time on until after World War II, then they just continued the baseball as such.
Yeah. Well, what teams played out there on the front?
Well, that's the only time we had in the city at that time. The Mel teams played there, but that was before we started getting the big name teams in here.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's the school system used it. Sunday school teams, we had Sunday school teams at that time, the church teams used it, and the Mel teams used it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then when we converted it over, built the diamond down in the park, we made a parking lot out of that.
Oh, that's where people park.
Parked there for a long time, and then they finally, about maybe 1939 or 40, we made a loan down of it.
Oh. Then you must have been here when they built the community house.
I can remember as a kid, too, that the community house was built in 23 or 4, 22, 20, in that area.
Right in there, huh?
Yeah, but it was real small, and they've added on to it several times, but I can remember the additions. I can't remember the initial building. I was too young then.
Well, now, it was built just for the mill as a community house, was that it? Or?
Well, originally built even when the Methodist Church, matter of fact, of course, we're celebrating our 50th year this year as a church, and when that started, of course, they held it at Mr. Kuhlenberger's house. And that's when he had the house down where the parking lot is now in front of the, beside the laboratory at the mill.
Yeah.
That's when Mr. Killenberger's home was there. We tore that house down during the war years.
Oh.
But yeah, he held church in his house and he moved up there and he held it there and then they built the community house. And it was built originally for a church, but as they added to it, why then of course the mill become more involved. Of course, it's a company building anyhow, but they become more involved in social and recreational. Portions of the building.
Mm-hmm. Now, the old place where we had the library, someone was telling me they went to Sunday school there as a child. Now, was that, who lived there?
Shaw's. That was the old Shaw farm. Of course, Shaw's owned quite a lot of the city apartments. Of course, that was before the city way back when, but they owned quite a lot of that. Was a farm.
That was the Shaw farmhouse,
yeah,
huh?
Oh,
because we were talking just a couple of days ago as to who actually owned that house in the beginning, and that was Shaw's.
Uh-huh. Of course, Mrs. Shaw, she's the one that sold it to the city. We bought it just a couple, 3 years before you started using it for, Mrs. Shaw.
No.
No?
We, the house right next to the church was the one that we had first.
Yeah, that was the Shaw.
That's the Shaw.
Yeah.
That was the original. Well, then the other building where we just came from.
Oh, that was, what was the name of the people that owned that?
That wasn't part of the old Watson farm.
Well, I think maybe way, 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 way back before my time it could have been. Because
could have been,
that was,
huh?
Yeah, it could have very well been because it was, and I would probably go as far as say that it probably was. But Dick Hillenberger bought that in 25, 26.
Oh, then he had it all that.
All that when he bought, when he built his new home there. And of course, that was his.
And then quite a few people lived there. I think Glenn Stewart's lived there, didn't they, for a while?
No, not Glenn Stewart, Bob Stewart.
Oh, Bob Stewart.
Yeah, he's quite a character. He, Mr. Hillenberger brought him over from Scotland. He was an old-time papermaker.
Oh.
And he imported him from Scotland to the superintendent of the paper machines up here.
Oh.
And he was quite a boy. Yeah, he lived there for several years.
Uh-huh.
And Callie Mashburn lived there for about a while. And
was it Heasley's?
Huh?
Heasley's lived there too, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, a short time.
Yeah.
And old Mr. J.P. King, our school superintendent.
Oh, his son came in one time and looked around.
Did he? Harold.
I don't remember, except I know he came in. Well, who do you suppose built that house?
Boy.
They must have been doing it when they were asleep or something, as crooked as the walls were.
Yeah.
We were just looking at that cupboard out here. And it's probably a couple of inches wider at the bottom than it is at the top. And it goes up. It's rather weird.
I'll be darned.
And
no, I don't really see that house was sitting there, gee, when I, as I, well, ever since I can remember, and of course I'm 53 years old.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it was Doris Bierma that said her folks, her mother, said she was taken there as a baby to Sunday school.
It could be. Now, her mother, of course, Mrs. Dobb, of course, that's her mother, is probably, I would say, the oldest living original residents in this area. Boy, if you could talk to her sometime.
Yeah.
Could,
well, Doris said she thought I could, you know, they were in Florida at the time.
She was a Zipperneck, I think.
Huh?
She was a Zipperneck. A Zipperneck were some of the original people here in Parchment.
Oh.
She used to go to school out here, you know where the Williams live?
No.
On North Riverview? You know where Harmon Street comes up from Key Drive?
Yeah.
Well, right across the street on Riverview Drive and over Harmon Street, that end of Riverview Drive, there's a house there.
Oh.
Quite a nice house now. But that used to be a schoolhouse.
And it was called the Gardner School?
Well,
I found an old map at Western.
I can say to that.
Yeah, I found an old map at Western, 1916, I think the date was, and it said Gardner School. And it would show it about in that location. But was it a sort of a one-room school, country school, or?
Probably originally it could have been. I remember when I was a kid, before they converted over, the windows were all broken. I used to go there and play in it.
Yeah.
But I can't.
They had built. Where did you go to school here?
Well, I started school here.
They had the first part of this one down
here?
Oh,
we had, I think, 6 rooms on here.
And that was right where the old South
building.
Yeah. And then they just kept making additions on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking someone said that they had built 2 or 3 additions on it before they put intermediate
three.
On.
I think 3.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah.
And then after you got, how far did that go?
Well, at that time, went to the 10th grade.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you had to go
so
downtown.
I had to go downtown, either State High or Central or... a few of them went to Richland.
Oh.
The district paid tuition, of course, and, and you have your choice if you wanted to go to Richland. And a few of them lived out in that area, at the corner of the district.
Uh-huh. Well, now, after you came in, were most of the streets put in, or?
The streets as such were here. They were dedicated streets. I think since I've been here, a lot of them were gravel at that time. I have paved and curb and gutter. So at the present time, we probably, I would say 99% of our streets are paved, have curb and gutter, and sewer systems.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you use the old sewer system, or did you have to come in with new?
No, whoever, when they first developed the sewer system in town, they had a lot of foresight. See, back in those days, a lot of cities were building combined sewers, running their sanitary waste and their stormwater down the same sewers. Well, they got caught because in the last 20 years, the state of combined city can't do this anymore.
Uh-huh.
Whoever, and that is Mr. Libby, the mayor back in those days, had foresight enough to separate them at that time. So we never had to go into this. We had separate sewers.
Uh-huh.
But we, of course, added and improved them throughout the years. You know.
Uh-huh. Someone said something about they used to have big 4th of July celebrations. I know the Citizens League used to have it after we moved here. Was this when you were a kid that they?
Well, no, even after I worked with the city, we had them. Our last one was 1941 during the war year, and that was probably the biggest one we had because we figured that, and for them times a big crowd, we figured at 25,000 in the park at that.
Oh.
Of course, at that time, that was before the Espanola flat was developed.
Yeah.
And the people used to drive their cars back in the hills there, and those hills so tight they'd just be covered.
Oh.
But we must say that was probably the biggest crowd because that was shortly after, you remember when Major Doolittle bombed Tokyo for the
yeah.
first time? Mr. Kinberger had him here.
Oh.
After the bombing.
Uh-huh.
Presented with a watch and things, and of course we had a lot of war material from Fort Custer and the army over there come over with their dogs and stuff, put on demonstrations, plus the fireworks. But no, every year we had big, well, we had several of them. We had a Decoration Day, we had a program in the park. And of course, Memorial Day, we had our big one. And in the fall, we'd have harvest festivals and things. And, of course, in those days, people wasn't so mobile. They didn't have so many things to do, so they looked forward to the
yeah.
program in the park. It was the highlight of the season for them. They'd come from all over, Indiana, Ohio. They'd drive from all the states, 20 states to our sports line.
Oh, for goodness sake.
You never seen such fireworks in your
life. Did you have a parade and that
never,
type of
thing? No parade.
No parade.
No, it was just the doings itself in the park.
You had carnival type of thing, was it?
No,
or?
No carnival. Just different programs. I remember that, for instance, my father, he was quite a tall man, quite a big man, and he put a beard on him. He looked a lot like Abraham Lincoln. Well, they dressed him all up, and he just like Lincoln would, you know, and he'd
yeah.
go out and part of the program, and we'd see that guy's very good dress and these sort of things. And they had all kinds of music, different, well, it's hard to, I can't really remember the different types of programs they had, but they'd give you a whole evening of entertainment before the fireworks came on.
This was just in the evening they had it, or did they have it during the day?
No, it would be an evening program. I'd maybe start at 4 or 5 o'clock. I just can't remember how long I started.
Somebody said something about a Miss Liberty. What was that?
Miss Liberty. Oh, boy.
Seems to me it was Betty Haas that mentioned it. And I just wondered if that was, say, a crown to Miss Liberty, or?
I remember something about that.
But you never were Miss Liberty, so.
No, I was never Miss Liberty, but I remember something about that being part of a program.
Uh-huh. Now, did Mr. Kinberger himself ever try directing you in your work, or
no.
did you just work through other people?
No, at that time when I started the park, I mentioned these two or three landscapers that they
mm-hmm.
hired to come in here and work. They were the superintendents at that time, and of course then they'd have a foreman under them. I was quite young, of course, at that time when I was
yeah.
starting out in the park, and Mr. Kinberger, I'll never forget him because, of course, he was my Sunday school teacher.
Oh.
And that's how I got so famous with him. And then we used to have big father and son banquets over there. And my birthday was the same day as Mr. Kinberger's.
Oh.
And several times he'd take me and his son and say, and this, I got really acquainted with the Kinberger family. And so when I got through school, of course, I just like most kids trying to find a job off the streets. And he ran to me, I remember one day, he said, Glenn, he said, why aren't you working during school? I said, well, I can't afford to go to school, and I can't find a job. And he said, you get over to that office as quick as you can, you go to work. And that's why I came over here, and that's when I got my job there. But
how
now,
did they know that you were supposed to get a job, or were there jobs available?
Well, I told Mr. Kinberger sent me in, of course, and nobody questioned Mr. Kinberger.
Yeah.
And so, But no, he didn't. Every morning, 11 o'clock, Mr. Kinberger leave the office and walk. Take a walk through the park. Every morning, come back, take a watch by it.
Uh-huh.
And he always had a dog with him. 3 years of the Doberman Pinscher, and the dog would always carry his cane for him. And, you know, he would never say nothing unless he seen something that he figured he was doing wrong, and he'd tell you in a hurry.
Yeah.
But as far as active supervision, no.
He just
go through the park, and if he could find fault with something, why, this grass is too long, or this shovel and trim right or something like that. Well, of course, the boss would hear about it. But
yeah.
Never bothered him in.
Mm-hmm. Because I know I've heard people mention that, you know, he would come and tell them to mow their lawn or something. Just a minute, I have to change this. Now turn the tape over.
But they're tough.
I know, this only happened once. He come over to the park one day, and I won't mention the man's name, but he lived on Maple Street there, and his grass was quite long. And he said, "Man, why don't you put in all that man's yard? And keep track of your time and turn it in." I went over to quite early in the morning. This fellow worked shift work, so he worked the midnight shift, but he was still sleeping. Of course, I had a big power mower there, and I woke him up. He tucked his head out the door, and he said, "Well, Glenn, what you doing out there?" And I said, "Well, Mr. Killenberger told me to come over and mow your yard." Well, he said, "Gee, that was nice of Mr. Killenberger, but after he got the bill for it, Mr. Killenberger wasn't so nice." But his yard was mowed every week from then on.
Oh.
But that's the only time I ever really know of it happening that I was involved in, you know.
But he didn't have to tell the man directly, he just did it this way.
This particular time he did. Now, of course, he always took walks around the city, and if he'd probably seen a yard, he figured, well, he kept up the way he should be, he might have told the person directly, I don't know.
Yeah,
But I've heard these stories, but this is the only time it's really ever happened that I know of.
And I know I've heard people say, you better have your Bible on the table or something in your living room when
no,
he came, I didn't know.
I think there's a lot of stories about Mr. Kilmer.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like him, and they started a lot of rumors about him, but I think I knew him probably as well as anybody, and I've never known him to.
But he was really active in the church.
He was a real Christian man, and I'll say one thing. As many ministers we've had here in Methodist Church, I've never heard anybody give a sermon that Mr. Kilmer, but when he got up to give a sermon, everybody ran into their seats. I mean, he had a way of doing it that
you could feel he really felt that way.
Oh, he really felt that way, sure. And of course, he's a human being like anybody else. He had a temper, and he might have slipped once in a while. We all slip a little bit, but with the responsibility that that man had on his shoulders and things to look after, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Kilmer is a great man.
Uh-huh.
That's all I think of in my mind.
Uh-huh. Well, I know I've heard, and I went back before I started this project, and I was reading up on him, and it seemed like he was the kind of a person that, he really cared about this community.
Oh, this is his whole life.
And I think you can feel it.
That's right.
And in a great many things that you see around here.
Well, if you'd seen the mill back in those days, too, in comparison to what it is now, of course, now they're starting to do a little work around there. But, boy, I'm not kidding you could go through that mill and you could eat on the floor any place.
Uh-huh.
The machinery and stuff, you'd never see any grease on the machinery or dirt or dust. He always said, we make food protection paper,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have it clean. And that mill is just as clean inside as any house in Parchment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying something for paper mill.
Well, the people seemed to have quite a bit of pride in their work, didn't they, in the mill itself?
Well,
the workers?
Yes, of course. As I say, he was quite straight. And
mm-hmm.
his supervisor throughout the mill is trained to be just as strict as he was. And if he didn't want to work, he just didn't work here, that's all. He had probably a good day at work.
Yeah.
But at that time, they paid you too. Probably the highest paid factory in the town was the very, because they expected work from you, but they expected to pay for the work that you did.
Mm-hmm. So they probably had people who stayed quite a while too.
Oh, sure. My whole family, my brothers, my dad worked there 40 years, and my sister worked there, my brother worked there. A lot of old timers over there. Once they get a job, they have the AVP company. You never left.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's right.
I know I've met quite a few people here, you know, that had worked at the KVP.
Oh, sure. A lot of women back in the old days, of course, when they first started the mill here for quite a few years, they papered me out of rags, you know, instead of pulp. Mm-hmm. They had a rag mill down here. And of course, the women always did that in the sorting the rags and cutting and things like that. And
mm-hmm.
you see, this, no matter where you go, you see women, older women. Well, I used to work at KVP in the rag department. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, I of course, didn't come here until 56, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived here about a year and then went to University of Michigan. But just in that period of time, what we could see in Parchment, we thought, well, this is where we want to be when we come back here. And so when we came back, that's what we were looking for.
Yeah, well, this was true back in those days. Everything was so, oh, gee, it was the philosophy that the city and the mill was built on was, well, couldn't be questioned. I mean, the philosophy that Mr. Kilmer had was, of course, based on religion, but
mm-hmm.
And he, of course, as you probably heard, a good share of the homes and parks were built by him and the company.
Well, he built them first, or he loaned the money?
No, well, he did, well, he helped the financing, of course, but what he did, he bought all this empty land up here with Parks Mountain, Glendale, and Oak Grove, and these streets here, inside the city limits. No, he bought that, or the mill bought it, was the one the same at that time. And then he'd plat it off, and he'd give the employees, he tried to encourage employees to live close to their job, of course. So he would sell these lots to these employees at cost, no profit ever made on them. And he would tell them that if they wanted to build a house, to bring the plans to him. So they'd bring the plans to him, and he'd hire a contractor. And the contractor would build maybe a dozen houses this year. And he'd sell it back to the people at cost. That's why so many homes were bought so cheap here in Park at that time by the employees. But Mr. Kingleworth, they get them to live here and live near their jobs, give them terrific bargains on their properties and on their houses.
Now, could they approve the plans themselves? Or?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, they built what they wanted to build, yeah. He never argued that, as long as it was a nice house.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because I noticed all of them are different. There's definitely any row houses up there.
No, he didn't do that. It's their home, and they could build the way they wanted to.
Now, why was Park Avenue built up later? In some of these early photographs I've seen, there may be a couple houses on Park Avenue.
Mm-hmm. The only reason I could think of it probably because being adjacent to the park, they were larger lots, probably more expensive lots, and it's very possible, and I don't know, that of course Mr. Hayward and Mr. Southen probably had the two first houses on that street, and they built real expensive homes, and there wasn't too many people that could build that type of home at that time, so they wasn't going to live on that street with these houses. And then Glenn Stewart, of course, built another house there. He was the next, and Dr. McGregor, and he's talking of nowadays houses that sell for $50,000, $60,000, $70,000.
Yeah.
And in them days, they might have been $15,000, $20,000 homes, but the average home was being built for $4,000 or $5,000. See, so
yeah.
I think that's probably it. People didn't feel that they could afford to build the type of home in that neighborhood.
Oh.
And then of course Dr. Jennings built nice home up there, and
which house was that?
I take it back. He didn't build a house. He bought it after it built. He worked it uptown. He was on the city commission at one time. Vandenberg. Jay Vandenberg built up there. And that was the second house in the end up there, the big house. So you see, these type of people, wealthier people, start selling on that street.
Yeah.
I think that's probably chased most of the working class of people out of that area.
Oh. I didn't know whether they were just holding those for executives or those lots or...
No, what happened, of course, when Mrs. Hayward, Doc Southen built there, they bought the land adjacent to them, so they wanted to build there. And of course, they bought the three lots adjacent to them, so they took up practically one whole block there to start with.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's been recently that it's been sold.
Uh-huh. That's what that, I didn't look at it from that viewpoint. I was thinking maybe they held those lots, but as you say.
Yeah, no, I think that was the reason, because it was, they were all being built pretty much the same within a 10-year period, most of them were built.
Yeah, because I noticed from the photographs you could see houses on Glendale and Parchmont, but this seemed to be pretty vacant there.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your coming over here and letting me interview you.
Yeah, but if I was you, I'd get a chance to talk to Mrs. Dobb. I would do it.
Yeah.
She could probably go back. Well, I know she can much, much further than I can, to start with. She's 15 years older than I am. And, she could fill that gap in that real early history of Parson.
Well, Doris said that she was sure that she would.
Oh, I know she would.
And of course, I've made arrangements with Mr. Libby when I can.
I tell you another one, let's love to talk to you too, and he's the nicest guy to talk to, and he's keep it interesting. That's old Doc Southen.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've never met him.
Oh, you'd love him. He just loved to sit and talk with you by the hour in the apartment in the early days, how they used to, well, see, when those guys come over here, you know, when they start to mail, they pitch tents back here on the river and live in the tents for a year, because they know how to live in Parson.
Uh-huh.
And he can go on and on, and gee, it's really interesting to talk to him.
Yeah, I want to get him on tape. But with this change that we've had to make here, I didn't have time to...
He's going to write the portion of our you know, Merle probably told you, when we were booking an apartment, and Doc's gonna write up the history and put in there.
But I think he would put more on a tape.
Oh, definitely.
And tell him than he would.
He restricted it to so much space in this little booklet, you know.
Yeah, and this we could get more of it.
Oh, he'd want by the hour.
Yeah. Well, thanks.